Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are in Psalm 15 this morning. Psalm 15 is a short psalm of David, and it speaks about the qualifications for those who are able to stand before the presence of God. And it's very challenging as we look at it together. So let's pray, and then let's seek the Lord and through His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us another day of life. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together this morning and to hear from your word. Father, as we look to Psalm 15, we pray that you would write it on our hearts as only you can. We pray that you would soften our hearts and prepare them to receive the seed of your word, that your spirit would sow the word deeply in our souls in a way that would bear fruit. Lead us to Christ. And change us through Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 15. It is a psalm of David. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Short psalm, 5 verses, asking and answering a very simple but a profoundly important question. Hebrew parallelism has two lines that often repeat the same thought, and so this is really two different ways of asking the same question. Who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Both of these are ways of referring to who is qualified to stand before the presence of God. The tent is the tabernacle. It's where God's presence on earth was manifest. God's holy hill, Mount Zion, is where the Ark of the Covenant was brought up to establish the temple. This may have been written during this transitional time where there was the tabernacle, and then the Ark of the Covenant was on Mount Zion. But the question is, who is qualified to stand in the presence of God? We know God is holy, holy, holy. The cherubim around his throne never cease crying out, holy, holy, holy. So who's qualified? Well, the one who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. This is a picture of someone who is blameless in every way. There is the blanket statement of he who walks blamelessly and does what is right. That is a reference to actions, right? Actions that are blameless, cannot be accused of doing wrongdoing, instead doing what is right. So absent of blame and the presence of what is right. But then outward actions are not enough. David goes to the heart, who speaks truth in his heart. Sometimes we all know it's easy to say the truth with our tongue and say loving and kind and merciful things with our tongue, while in our heart we're harboring evil and wickedness and lies. So this person speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue. So again, you have actions and thoughts and now words. Does not slander with his tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. These are the three ways that we sin are in thought, word, and deed. You've probably heard that expression before. and by what we leave undone, and by what we do that is wrong. This is someone who is blameless in all of those ways. Not only does he not do what is wrong, but he does what is right. He's not slandering, he's not doing evil, he's speaking truth from the heart, so that's heart and mouth, and he's walking blamelessly without fault and doing what is right. Not only that, but this is a person in whose eyes a vile person is despised. So someone who is wicked, who is set against God and his people, is not honored by this person, is not, you know, exalted, but is despised by this person. But who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, does not take a bribe against the innocent. He's not a profiteer. He's not trying to make money, right? And then finally, there's a promise that he who does these things shall never be moved. Now, for much of my life, when I heard Psalm 15, I saw it as a call for me to try to be this kind of man. I saw it as a call that I needed to be the one who was blameless. I needed to be the one who spoke the truth in my heart. I needed to be the one who did the right thing all the time for the right reason, from a right heart motive, and if I did that, I would never be moved. And of course, there's a sense in which that is the call of this psalm. If we leave it at that surface level, we could just say, this is the kind of person God is looking for. But you see, you and I know, don't we, that we're not qualified. And that no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we're not ever going to be qualified in and of ourselves. We are far from blameless in our conduct. We harbor all sorts of things besides the truth in our heart. We do slander with our tongue. We do evil. We don't honor those who fear the Lord. We swear to our own hurt and then we change our mind because we don't want to deal with the consequences. So we go back on our word. It is not true of us, and it's not going to be true of us in and of ourselves, that we meet the qualifications for Psalm 15. Psalm 14, which comes right before Psalm 15, makes that abundantly clear. We looked at that on Friday. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then the passage that expands on that in Romans 3 that we also looked at on Friday makes it even more abundantly clear. You and I are not qualified. No one is except Jesus. So then we look at this psalm and we realize it is giving us the qualifications of God's chosen holy high priest, the one who lives before the presence of God, the one who abides before the presence of God continually. Sojourn and dwell is to stay there before the presence of God. So the one who can never be moved is God's holy and chosen high priest. And if we go to Hebrews 7, Hebrews tells us much about God's holy and chosen high priest. So ultimately, like all the Psalms, Psalm 15 is pointing us to Christ. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Jesus fulfilling Psalm 15, being qualified, and everything that Hebrews 7 says up to this point about him, he's the one after the order of Melchizedek. He's the one after the order of Melchizedek who is without beginning and without end and without generation, and he's holy in all his ways. He's the King of righteousness and the King of peace. That's what comes before this in Hebrews to get you the context. But it's because of his unique qualifications, which also would include that he fulfills Psalm 15 as no one else ever has or ever could. Because of his unique qualifications, Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. He's always dwelling in the presence of God. He's always living in the presence of God. Consequently, love this verse, Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Our great high priest is undying. His life is eternal. He continues forever. And so he's always dwelling in the presence of God. And what he's doing is always living to make intercession for us, for his own. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Listen to this description now of Jesus. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That's Psalm 15. Holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners. Those four adjectives that describe Jesus, such a high priest, they perfectly fulfill Psalm 15 and the qualifications for the one who can live in the presence of God. And so he has no need, like those other high priests who offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself for the sins of his people. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. So this is our greater high priest, the Son who is perfect forever, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens, the one who always lives to make intercession for us. So then the answer to the question, going back to Psalm 15, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Only Jesus. Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Only Jesus. Well, then, does Psalm 15 not apply to us at all? Well, it does apply to us. It applies to us as we are in Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a holy priesthood, a royal nation. So we are the holy priesthood in Christ, because he is qualified. That's my allergies, by the way. It's just really bothering me. Claritin's not helping me as much this year as it has. But anyway, that's why I keep coughing. It's just allergies. Springtime is here. It's beautiful. Okay, so we are in Christ. And in Christ, we also are invited to stand before God, but only and always in Christ. He is the Holy One, and we are made holy in him. He is the uniquely qualified high priest, and we are a holy priesthood in him. Now, what is the goal of God's choosing us? And what is the end game of the process of our sanctifications? The goal of God's choosing us: he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. That's Romans 8. We were chosen to be made like Jesus. And the end goal of our sanctification, the end game, is that we will be like Jesus. And so the process of sanctification is a process of being made more Christ-like. So now we can go back to Psalm 15 and we can see, actually, this is about us. It's about us in Christ and what work God is doing in our hearts to make us more like Jesus. So we don't just say, well, I can never be blameless. I can never do what is right. I can never speak truth in my heart. I'm not qualified on this, but Jesus is. And so I'll trust in Jesus and I'll forget about doing all these things. I'll forget about growing in Christ's likeness. No, we are called to grow in Christ's likeness. It is both the work that God is doing in us, and it is the work that we are called to do in response to the Holy Spirit's making us willing and able to obey Him. So this does become our goal, but here's the big difference. Before I knew that this was about Jesus, I thought I had to measure up to this standard in order to be qualified to go into the presence of God. I thought I had to meet the qualifications to be accepted by God, and I never could. But now in Christ Jesus, we are accepted. We are given access. We are holy and we are beloved, even as God continues the process of making us more like His Son. So we should want to walk blamelessly and do what is right, but not because it's going to qualify us to a right relationship with God. Jesus has already taken care of that. It's already settled. We should do it because it makes us more like Jesus, our Savior, and we should strive to do so by the power of His Holy Spirit at work in us. We have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners. And Hebrews would also tell us that He is a merciful and faithful high priest who's been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet without sin, and so He's able to give grace to those who draw near in time of need. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. We thank You that He is holy, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted in the heavens. We thank You that He lives forever to make intercession for us. And so He has answered this question of who is qualified to stand before Your presence, O Father. Your Son is qualified. And we are qualified in Him. In Him we are beloved and accepted, cleansed, sanctified, made holy, and draw near to You. We thank You for this great gospel hope. We ask that You would help us to walk in the truth of that, to walk in close fellowship with You, which Christ has won for us, and to be conformed by Your Spirit into the likeness of Christ, our Savior. We want to be more like Him because we love Him, because He first loved us. So we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're not going in straight order this week because I already did a devotional on Psalm 16. You can go back and find it from about a year ago. So instead, we're going to go on to Psalm 17 on Wednesday, and then Psalm 21 is what's coming up on Friday. So I hope you can join us for those. Have a blessed day in the Lord.